Today we will be speaking from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23 verse 1 and verse 4. The word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's bow our heads now, this morning, for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless us now. Please be with us in these times, so you can use them to help us, Lord, so that we will not be fearful of whatever is coming, and may always look to you, to seek your face, Father, for you know all things. May you be glorified. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
For the last 2 months, we've faced some frightful news about the coronavirus. News reports coming in that thousands of people have died from this highly infectious disease and is spreading throughout America and the world. The virus also has caused an economic catastrophe, with many people losing their jobs and not having their paychecks. Panic in grocery stores has shoppers rushing to purchase and stock up with the necessities. This is a crisis of great magnitude, and we can understand why so many people are anxious and afraid. And today's sermon is to remind us of some things to help relieve us of our anxiety and deal with fear. So the title of the sermon this morning is Defeating Fear During the Virus Crisis. What we know is what gets us through. Again, I'm repeating, what we know is what gets us through. What do we know? Let me give you several things. Number one, remember that I have a shepherd. Remember that I have a shepherd. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The shepherd that we have is Jesus Christ, who loves, protects, and feeds his sheep. What a shepherd who tenderly cares for us. And King David said, "As long as I have Jesus, or as long as I have God to be my shepherd, I can face anything." And the reason why is because the shepherd that we have understands about our needs and cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. Jesus is our shepherd, there's nothing to fear. In John chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Understand that the shepherd that we have gave his life for us. And if he would give his life for us, he cares about our lives. He cares about us. And the Bible says in John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine." If you trusted Christ to be your personal Savior, he knows exactly what you're going through. He loves you. He cares for you. He understands every detail about your life. There's nothing to fear when you know Jesus as your personal Savior. What's going on in your lives is of great importance to Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear. So when it comes to what you know and remember that you have a shepherd that cares for you. Number two, the second thing that we need to remember is that not everything I hear is true. Not everything I hear is true. When you go with the series of with the information from the internet and social media, you have to be very discerning. So many times there's things in there, they're not even true. And people believe it as is the gospel. And if you're going to be careful, you've got to be so careful to make sure that what you're reading is true. If you're not careful, you will have anxiety over something that's not even true. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 14, verse 15. The Bible says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The word prudent here in this context means to have an understanding. To have an understanding. Let's read it again. "The simple believe every word." Not everything you read, not everything you hear is true. Okay, some of these things are things that we need to understand. They're not even true. And if they're not true, we get ourselves all worked up and we get ourselves to the point that anxiety starts to dominate our life. So we understand from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16, it says, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open to his folly." A foolish person believes everything. Everything he hears, everything he reads, everything he gets, and not he believes it all. And if you do that, you're going to be pulled in all kinds of directions. And if you get to the point that you believe everything you read, your life is going to be open to all kinds of things, which is going to cause anxiety and fear in your life. Look what Solomon said. He said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, being very careful of what you read and be very discerning. So this will help defeat fear in your life and anxiety. Not everything you read is true. Not everything you hear is true. And you have to remember that. If not, fear is going to grip you and you're going to be afraid about things that might not even be true at all. And even if things are true, we have God. We have our shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we have to remember not everything you hear is true. You have to be discerning upon it. Sometimes it's good just to shut off things for a while, okay? Instead of being overwhelmed by stories and reports of things that might not necessarily be true. Number three, the third thing that we need to remember if we're going to defeat fear in our lives during this crisis is to remember this: this will pass. This will pass. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for a far excellent and eternal weight of glory." The Apostle Paul said, "For our light affliction." How could Paul say that? Paul understood about affliction. This man went through things that I think none of us here would ever, ever even want to go through. The Bible says that he's been beaten. He's been spent a day and a night in the deep. That means in the water on a shipwreck. He was beaten on his back at least three times. He suffered affliction by being beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was a person that had his skull crushed in, and by the miraculous power of God that he was raised again from the dead. And the Apostle Paul said, "All these things that I suffer, all these things that you suffer, is but a light affliction when we consider that it's only for a moment of time. Our lives extend through a period of years, but it goes on through eternity." And the Bible teaches here that all that we go through, it is working for an excellent and eternal weight of glory. What we are facing will not last. It's going to pass. And we understand that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 is a great verse of Scripture. It says this: "Beloved," he's talking to Christians here, "beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." The Apostle Peter, when he's writing, he says, don't you understand that as long as we live in this life, there's going to be trials, there's going to be testings. We're all going to face, and right now we're facing something gigantic, okay? Because it's not only just for us here in America, but it's the whole world. And Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. The trial there, fiery, means it's an intense trial. That's exactly what we're facing. We're facing an intense trial that's going on, but it's going to pass. It's not something that's going to continue on and on and on without any end of it. There is a light at the end of the troubles that we're going through. And we have to remind ourselves, as you're going through this trial in your life and in your family, in our country, that it's going to come to pass. And if we're not careful to remind ourselves about this, we will get ourselves into a point of anxiety, which will cause all kinds of physical problems in our lives. Peter said, this fiery trial, don't think it's strange. We're believers in Christ. And as a Christian, I know that if it wasn't for this, there'll be another problem. There'll be another trial. But it's not going to last forever. It's going to come to pass. Remember this. Remind yourself. It'll help you in dealing with fear and anxiety. Number four. The fourth thing that we need to remind ourselves, the fourth thing that we need to remember, is to remember to focus on what is unchanging. There are some things that are unchanging, and if we're going to focus on something, we need to focus on these things. Let me give them to you. First thing that doesn't change is this: God sees everything that I'm going through. Right now, God sees everything that's going on in your life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God sees everything that you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what the problems are causing, financial problems or a medical problem. He knows the whole thing. You need to remind yourself. So many times people say, does God know what I'm going through? And the answer is that God does know what you're going through. The Bible teaches the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to our prayers. If you're going to remember something, remember this. Remember that to focus on what does not change. This never changes for the child of God. The second thing that never changes, that is unchanging, is that God cares about everything that I'm going through. Everything I'm going through. We need to focus on that. Does God care? Yes, he does care. There's a lot of things we don't understand in this life. We don't understand everything about the problems and difficulties that we face. We don't understand. Have you ever asked God, God, what's going on? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? We understand that God cares about everything, even the little tiny things in your life. If God would send his own son to die on the cross for us, and that is such the biggest thing that can go on in our life, that he died for us, don't you think he cares about the little things? Don't you think he cares about the small things that compared to Jesus dying on the cross, it's small? He cares about all those things. Those things never change. In other words, if God always cares about what we're going through, he's not going to change his mind and say, I don't really care what's going on. God's not that kind of God. He's not that way. God is a personal God. He cares about you personally, individually. And there's a third thing that's unchanging that we need to focus on. And that is God has the power to answer prayer. God has the power to answer prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. What a great verse of scripture. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou wast not. You know, as we go through this problem, people are praying more now than they did 2 months ago. It is amazing when we go through difficulties, when we go through trials, when we go through hardship, whether it's medically for ourselves or there's a medical issue about somebody that we know and somebody we love, whatever, it's either that or right now it's financially. Where's my paycheck going to come through? And what I am getting, can it even be able to stretch it to be able to pay all my needs in my life? The answer is that God has power to answer your prayers. Call upon me and I'll answer thee. That's a promise from God. I will answer it. God answers prayer according to his good and perfect will. He answers prayer according to his timetable. He answers prayer according to his timetable. You need to focus on that. You got to believe that with your heart, that God can take care of you and answer your prayers. There is no prayer request too small, nor any prayer request that is too big for God. The Bible teaches in the book of Jeremiah, another verse of scripture from Jeremiah chapter 32, I believe it's verse 17. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with thy stretched out arm and thy great hand. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there really anything that's too hard for God to answer? If God can create the heavens and the earth in 6 days and a 7 day rest, he surely can meet the needs that you have in your life today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be concerned about what's going on today. If you're going to focus yourself on something, get alone with God, take the scripture and meditate and let it run through your mind that God does answer prayer. God is a prayer answering God. The Bible says, Jesus said that ask and you shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it, and he that seeketh, find it, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto you. That's Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And in verse 11, the Bible teaches that our Heavenly Father cares about what our needs are, cares about everything that we need, and whatever we need, he will give us. God necessarily does not promise he'll give you everything you want, but God promises to give you everything you need in your life if you're a believer in Christ. Focus on that. Focus on the things what God says is true. And let me give you another one here. Let me give you another one to focus on, and then this. God always acts out of his goodness to me. Do you believe God acts out of goodness to you? You know, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, one of the great verses of Scripture, in Romans 8, 23, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God answers prayer, but God will always act out in goodness to you. You got to believe that in your life. You got to be able to hold on to that truth. God, that you'll always meet my needs, but you'll always act in goodness to me, to you. Do you believe that in your life? Do you believe that God loves you and cares for you and will look and work out in goodness to your life? You need to focus on that. You see, when we start remembering these things, all of a sudden the fear that we're experiencing, all of a sudden it starts to disappear. Has the situation changed? It may not change. But the fear that you are dealing with, that can change. Because fear and faith cannot coexist at the same time. In other words, if you have faith, fear is not going to be there. Okay? But if you have fear, you're not going to have faith being existing at the same time with you. It's either one or the other. And let me give you another one. Let me give you another one that is unchanging. Something else you should focus on. And here it is. God will never stop loving me. God will never stop loving you. God loves you. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of 1 John 4 that God is love. The very essence of God is that he is love itself. He's holy, but he also is a God of love. Focus on this. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God loves you? And just because you're going through a crisis right now doesn't mean God stopped loving you. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean it at all. You know, the Bible teaches that God loved Job. God loved Job. And look what Job went through. Job went through things that is so hard for us even to imagine. What he lost, where he lost his seven sons and three daughters all in one day. He lost all of his wealth in one day. And then in the next day, he lost the respect of his wife, the respect of his neighbors, respect of people that knew him in his town, where he lived, and he lost his own health. Did it mean that God didn't love him anymore? No, that's not true at all. You know what Job said? Though he try me, yet I shall come forth as gold. That was the response to Job. He said that even though God tries me, even though I've been tried, I know that God's working a purpose in my life. And he's going to bring forth gold, that means purity, in his life to be the man that God wanted him to be. God will not stop loving you. You know, the devil's very good trying to convince you that God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. If God loved you so much, why are you going through what you're going through? That's a lie. That's a lie that comes from the very devil himself, trying to convince you that because you're going through tough times is because God doesn't love you anymore. And that's a lie. And the best thing to deal with a lie is to deal with truth. The best way to deal with the devil is pray and recount and go over the promises of God. Let me give you one more thing before we move on. Remember to focus what's unchanging. Remember this one. I cannot lose my salvation if I trusted Jesus. You can never lose your salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches that God has given us everlasting life and we will never perish. You know, there are some religions that teach that you can be saved through Jesus, but you can lose your salvation. But that is not what the Bible says. You see, salvation is eternal. Once you have salvation, you have it forever and ever and ever again. What you need to do is focus. I am saved by grace. I will stay saved by grace. And I will pass the finish line. That's heaven. And we're going to get to the finish line because of God's grace. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is unmerited favor. In other words, God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. God doing for you what you cannot which you don't deserve. That's what grace is really all about. We're saved by grace. We stay saved by grace. We cross the finish line because of grace. So I cannot lose my salvation. And if you have those thoughts in your mind, the best way to expel those thoughts is by using the Word of God. The Word of God says eternal life, and the word eternal means eternal. Nothing can ever stop it. You have eternal life today. You'll have it forever. You know what you need to do? You need to remember it. You need to focus on it. Focus, I cannot lose my salvation. I've trusted Jesus. God will never stop loving me. Focus on God always acts out of his goodness to me. And God has a power to answer prayer. God cares about everything I'm going through. And God sees everything, everything. Everything I go through, he cares. He sees everything. And you know what? When you start focusing on those things, when you start reminding yourself from the word of God that these things are true, fear will not persist in your life. Let me give you the fifth thing to remember. The fifth thing to remember as you're going, as all of us are going through this time of crisis. And number five, remember, no matter what I go through, God will go with me. God will go with me. Remember what King David wrote? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff would comfort me. Just think about what David is saying there. David was a shepherd before he ever was elevated to fight in the armies of Saul, before he was ever elevated to be the king of Israel. He was a shepherd boy. He knew what it meant to be out with the flock all night at a time where it was dark, a time where there was predators such as lions and wolves. David knew that. And David wrote these words that we have been holding on to for over 3,000 years. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. You're with me, God. We're going through deep water. If you take a look at Isaiah 43, verse 2, look what it says here. God says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. God is a God who stays with his children. We have a shepherd that stays close to the sheep. He says, when you go through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Did you think about that when the Lord Jesus Christ was passing with his disciples over the Sea of Galilee? And when they were going through the Sea of Galilee, Jesus fell asleep at the back part of the hinder part of the ship. And when that happened, there was a storm, like many times storms rise very quickly in that part of the world, on the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, from having a calm sea, it also is very weak, upheaval taking place with the waves smashing on the side of the boat over and over again, wind blowing the sail, and the ship started taking on water. And the disciples, who were expert fishermen, these men knew how to handle a boat in a storm. They'd never seen anything quite like this. And while they're there in the boat, they're scared and they're saying, wake up, Jesus, wake up, Jesus. And when they woke him up, they said, don't you care about us that we would die? And Jesus stood, got up, and he spoke and just spoke the words, be still. And all of a sudden, the waves, instead of pounding in the ship, became calm. Instead of the wind blowing in the sails, and all of a sudden, it died down. And he looked at them and says, O ye of little faith. And they wondered and they said to themselves, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? I'm going to tell you what kind of man he is. He's the God man. He is the one that's the shepherd who not only controls what's going on in your life, but he's able to control all the circumstances around your life. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. That means that despite all that's going on, you will not sink. You are not going to drown because he's with you. The Bible says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindled upon thee. When I was thinking about this verse of scripture here and thinking about the fire, I thought about those three Jewish boys, in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three boys were at a time where the king Nebuchadnezzar built a large statue of gold of himself, and he wanted everyone to bow down and worship this statue. And of course, when everybody bowed down, these three Jewish boys wouldn't bow down to that idol because it was idol worship. And the king told them that unless you bow down and worship this idol, it was really an idol of himself, because Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a god and he acted like a god. He acted like a god, expecting people to fall down. He said, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into a furnace of fire. And those three men said, looked at him, and they said, we're not going to bow down. And our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're letting you know that we will not bow down. So Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage, had the fire in the furnace stoked up many times hotter than usual. And they took those three boys, and the soldiers threw them into the fire. And the very men who threw them in, they died from the heat. And Nebuchadnezzar came down to look inside the furnace, and what did he see? He didn't see three people. He saw four. And he says, I not only see three, but I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now, we find out over here that thou shalt not be burned if you go through the fire. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us, no matter how hot the trial we're going through, no matter what's going on in our life. We know that our God is able to deal whatever we're going through. We can trust him. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We may go through trials and difficulties, but remember, you don't go alone. God is with us. You know, we need to remember that. We need to remember God's with me. You know, when the Lord Jesus was going to be born, he was called Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel is God with us. God is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we experience, no matter what trial we go through. We need to remember, lo, Jesus, you're with me. We need to remember these things as we go through this trial of the crisis that we're in. Let me give you another thing to remember. This is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 4, verse 18, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal things. Believers, we can't lose no matter what happens. We can't. Paul said, we may have trouble, but God is with us. Let me read to you a few things here. Let me read to a few things here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Look what he wrote here. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What does the word distress mean? Distress means suffering from anxiety or pain. Paul said, we are troubled on every side. And the Apostle Paul, he went through things that we'll never go through. I thank God it. Thank God. He said, no matter what I've gone through, I've never been distressed. And then he said this, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Not in despair. What does perplexed mean? I looked that word perplexed up in the original Greek language. And here's a definition of perplexed. It means wit's end. Wit's end. Have you ever got to a point in your life where the stress and difficulty is so great that you almost feel like you're at the end? Well, the Apostle Paul said over here that he said that we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. In other words, we're not at a complete loss or absence of hope of what was going on in his life. It says here also, we were persecuted, but not forsaking. He suffered persecution, but God didn't forsake him. God never left him. And we all realize that not only are we not forsaken, but we've been cast down, but not destroyed. That means perished. Why? Why did he have this attitude? The word perish there means, destroyed means to perish. Why? Because in verse 14, it says, knowing that which he raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. What it means here is all believers have a hope of the resurrection, and we can meet every trial, even death. And the apostles, when they went out after the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven, they went forth in the midst of persecution and opposition, for they knew that their trials would end soon. And no matter what we're going through, this thing here is not the end of the story. Your life is not the end of the story, because you have the hope of eternal life and the confidence with God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes." Oh, there's going to be a time when all the tears will be wiped away. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things," look at the word of God says, "shall all pass away." It's not the end of the story. God has a wonderful future for us. And we are living in this world during the time of this crisis. We ought to remember and defeat fear. We remember that this is not the end of the story with this. God has a plan for our lives. And though we don't understand all the workings of God, and I don't think anybody can, we know that all things are going to work out for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his will. Now, there's one more thing to remember. We're going to remember how to deal with the stress and the fear and the anxiety. Remember, God wants you to help other people. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said this, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Brethren, if you know Christ as your Savior, God wants you to be a help to somebody else. I know it's very difficult to be able to go out. We're supposed to stay inside, and I think that's a wise thing, except if something essential that you need, such as food, a doctor's appointment, pharmacies, things like that. But brethren, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Call them up on the phone. Speak to them and see about encouraging somebody. You know, this time that we're going through is very, very difficult. Call people up and talk with them. Talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you know other people don't know the Lord, reach out to them and share Jesus Christ with them. Pray with them over the phone. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I don't know how many people I've called, several times to people, calling them up, encouraging them from the Word of God, telling them that we love you and that God is still in control. You can be a help to someone. And if there's someone that you know that is a senior citizen or someone that's not well, you may want to ask them, can you go out shopping for them? Can you buy something for them? You know, by doing these kind of things, what you're doing is taking your eyes off yourself and putting your eyes on someone else helps you to deal with fear and anxiety. Faith and fear cannot exist at the same time. So when you begin to show faith like that, you're encouraging others. And you know what? In a way, you're starting to encourage yourself. You know, God's word will strengthen you with confidence. You know, John chapter 14, one of the precious chapters, 14, 15, and 16 of John, is probably one of the highlights of that book, one of the highlights. And the Bible says in John 14, verse 1, after Jesus told his disciples that he was going to leave them, he was going to die for them, he said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, believe in me. Believe in me. Wrap your mind around that. Believe in Christ. And his Father's house, he has mansions. He's got homes of dwelling. What a beautiful place heaven is. If we just take what the Bible says about heaven, it is so thrilling to be able to read what God says about heaven in Revelation 21 and 22, Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5. A beautiful place. Let not your heart be troubled. Remind yourself of these seven things. Remind yourself of them. First, we have a shepherd. We got a good shepherd. Number two, remember, not everything you hear is true. Be discerning about what you're hearing. If it doesn't sound right and all of a sudden your heart is overcome with fear, put it aside. Put it aside. Number three, remember, this will pass. Number four, remember to focus on what's not changing. It's unchanging. It can never change. Remember, no matter what I go through, God will go with me. We'll never go through anything in this life by ourselves. If you know Christ as your Savior, He's with you constantly. Remember also, this is not the end of the story. The final chapter of our lives has been written already. The Bible says we win, we don't lose. And number 7, remember, God wants you to help other people. God wants you to help other people. Find ways where you can help others. If all you can do is call on the phone and pray with a brother and sister in Christ, encourage someone who may not be feeling well or has a family member that is sick or in the hospital or maybe a family member who's died, by calling up and just letting them know that you love them and that God is with us. That can encourage them, but it'll encourage you. So remember these things and let God defeat the fear in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful that no matter what we face, Lord, we'll never face anything by ourselves, for you are with us. We're thankful that, Jesus, you're our shepherd. You know what we're going through. You protect us. You watch over us. You feed us. You take care of everything in our lives. We ask that right now, that God, if there's anyone here that is listening to this message, Lord, that you would use this message to encourage them. If they don't know Christ, we pray that they would know Christ. If they do know Christ, encourage them. Build them up in the faith. We want to pray for those who have friends or family members that are sick, family members that, Lord, are struggling. We pray that, God, you'd help them. And, Lord, I pray for any person in our church that is going through a tough time financially. Oh, Lord God, increase their faith. Provide the things that they need. And God will give you the glory. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, do you know Christ as your Savior? The way Jesus becomes the shepherd in your life, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. And if you've never trusted his Son Jesus to be your Savior, you need to acknowledge that he is the Son of God and he died for you on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And by turning to him, repenting, meaning turn away from what you feel, turn away from your sin, and open your heart and call upon Christ to come in your heart, he'll come in. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you would like to receive Christ right now, you can do this by believing and calling upon him. How do you call upon him? Well, you call upon him by praying to him, by praying a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer, a prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, God. I believe Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross for my sins. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Give me everlasting life. Help me to start living for you from this day forward and share with people your wonderful message of forgiveness. Help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, you have eternal life. Eternal life cannot end. It goes on forever and ever and ever. You never have to pray this prayer over and over and over and over and over again. Once you pray and understand it and mean it, it's yours for all eternity. Let me turn now to Christians. If you've already received Christ as your Savior, is your heart overcome by fear? All of us shall struggle through these period of time we're going through. But Jesus is your Savior, your shepherd, and he loves you. Are you what you should be spiritually as a Christian? If you need to get closer to God, you need to start practicing the things of Christ. Would you repeat this prayer in your heart, quietly? Dear God, I'm thankful that you came into my heart and into my life some time ago. God, I need you. Would you please forgive me for not being as close as I should be? Forgive me for forgetting about some things in my life that I should never forget. But you are my shepherd. Would you please help me in my life? Help me to be a help to other people. Help me, Lord, so that I can help others. And dear Lord, please use me so that I can share Jesus with other people. Help me now from this day forward to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer in your own words, God heard every word. God saw your heart. Now I'm going to close in prayer, and I want you to take this message that you heard today, and I want you to remind yourself, every time you feel anxiety, every time you have fear, remind yourself of these seven things. They're recorded. You can watch this over and over again and take notes. And I just want to let you know that I have been praying for this telecast, and I will continue to pray that God would use it to help you in your life. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, none of us here, Lord, want what's going on, Lord, to continue. And Lord, none of us could ever have thought that we would be in a place that we're in currently right now for almost 2 months. But we're praying that, God, the things that were said today would help Christians and believers in Christ. Lord, I am also praying for those who may have received Jesus today, that you help them to start growing in their newborn faith, and pray that, God, you would help them to start living for you. Lord Jesus, we know that you're coming back. We're headed in that direction. There's no doubt about it. We're one day closer of Jesus coming and taking us home to be with him in heaven. But as long as we live in this life, Lord, give us the grace and the strength that we need to face this crisis, not in fear, but in faith. Help us to help others. Help people that are sick. Help people who lost loved ones. And we're praying, God, that you would encourage us. Provide the finances we need to pay our bills. And Father, provide us all the spiritual things we need to live for Christ. Please bless. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me give you a few announcements. Next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking on a sin that I believe all of us really have problems with, and that is the sin of pride. So next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the sin of pride. Wednesday night, the Bible study will be online. That will be at 7:30 p.m. I know we had a few problems last week with that sermon, with that lesson, and I think a little bit of it is because of the topic. We were talking about the devil last week, and Satan wants us all to be in the dark about him. He doesn't like when he gets exposed from the scriptures. He doesn't like it at all. And I know that we had problems. Our assistant pastor was working very diligently trying to get that thing being put on, and had problems even before it went on Facebook and YouTube. So we want to continue to pray. This week we're going to speak about a nation. The next several weeks we're going to talk about nations. The first nation we're going to be talking about that is a sign, okay, to us. The sign to us about the apocalypse, the coming of Christ, is the nation of Israel. Understanding Israel is an important piece of Bible prophecy, and we're going to be talking about that. We want to continue praying for our families, our church, and our country. Our country needs revival. Unsaved people don't know anything about revival. It's the saved that need revival. Pray for our church. Pray for the churches of America. Pray for the pastors. It's not an easy thing to minister the way we're doing this. This is totally new to all of us, but this is the way of getting out the word of God. And we're praying for lost souls. If you have an unsaved family members, whoever they may be, or unsaved friends, pray and bring their name before the throne of grace. We want to see our friends get saved. We want to see our neighbors get saved. I know I'm praying for my neighbors, and you're probably to do the same. And when they're going through problems like this is going through right now, this crisis, it opens their mind to things that they never really thought about. That is salvation in Christ. So pray for that, and pray for your church family. I know many have lost people. Maybe there could be a cousin, an uncle. I know my cousin died back in the end of March. He passed away from the coronavirus, and I don't believe he knew Christ as his Savior. Just continue to pray for the families that lost people, people that are in the hospital, and things like that. Pray for our nurses and those who work in the hospitals. We have a number of them. We have a number of them that are working in hospitals, nursing homes, rehabilitation centers. And I think the last count, there was 3,500 people died in nursing homes. 3,500 out of almost 6,000 deaths in New Jersey in nursing homes alone. So please pray for them. Okay? We want to continue to pray for our tithes and our mission giving. We do need people to continue their faithfulness in giving. I know people have lost their jobs, and we need to pray for them, but we're praying to be faithful. You can send your tithe and mission giving to the church address at 166 Franklin Street, or you can do online giving. A lot of people are going online and donating, but we do need your prayers. We do need your support for our missionaries, so that you continue to do that. Also, we do have sermons in Spanish. It'll be on the website. Today's message will probably be on the website sometime tomorrow. It's being translated and put in there. And also the Bible studies are being put in Spanish. And usually it's the day after. Usually that's when it gets posted. And we encourage you to share with your friends, your family, your coworkers, whatever. Just share with them that these messages are going out on YouTube as well as the Facebook. And by doing that, we're getting the message out. We're just getting the message out. And so far, it is getting out. So these are just about all the announcements. I'd like to close in prayer and let you know that I'm praying for you. Silver Lake Baptist Church, I'm praying for you. My wife's praying for you. We love you. And we're yearning. We just can't wait to get back together in church. And I think it's going to be a little while longer. It's going to be a while longer. It looks like all of May is probably going to be the same. But we're going to pray that God would allow us to meet together again. So stay encouraged. Remember, Jesus is still on the throne. Let's close our service with a word of prayer. We want to thank God for Zion and Elijah have been singing. So we have some singing to start off. We're glad and we're so thankful that God has given us teenagers that are able to come. And I know their mom and dad make it possible to be here. And we love them. And we're so thankful that you're ministering in music, because music is an important aspect of worship of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, today that we're able to be at a place, Lord, where we can get the message of Jesus out into the community. Lord, we're praying that, God, that we can be back in church holding services again. And we know that the reason why we're not meeting is because of the perilous times we're living in. Lord, we're praying that God soon that we can be in church and be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that the message today would get in the hands of every person as possible to help them and encourage them and build them up. And we're praying for those without Jesus that they would grow, they would turn to Christ and have everlasting life. So bless us now, Father, and may you be glorified in what is said and what is done from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.